The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Causes of backsliding is what I'd like to speak to you on tonight. There's various causes of backsliding. First of all, evil thinking causes us to backslide. Instinctively, we think bad of other individuals. Never think good, it's always bad. If we hear something, we observe something or something, we form an opinion, and usually it's bad. When a person's heart is impure, he'll begin thinking evil of other people. He'll judge them by himself, and doing this shows a lack of love. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, doth not behave him itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Perhaps he will want to avenge himself because of something that another has done to him, but God says, in effect, leave avenging to me. Deuteronomy 32, verse number 25, the Bible says, to me belongeth vengeance, and recompense their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Then in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse number 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. 1 Peter 3, 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So, evil thinking can cause one to backslide, one to withdraw unto himself, one to hinder the working of the Spirit in the midst of the church. And what we think and how we feel, the kind of feelings toward our brethren and so forth, it can hinder the working of the Spirit in our midst. Worldliness is also, it doesn't necessarily consist of things, but worldliness is an attitude of heart. God says, love not the world. 1 John 2 and verse number 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, notice, it's an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of what I desire, how I think and how I feel, the way I think it ought to be done is the right way. Well, the way it seems right to man, the ways thereof are the ways of death. It's God's way that we need to be concerned about. It's God's way that we need to look at. He says, love not the world. Don't let the world, the worldly things, don't let the things you do in the world cause you to draw yourself away from him. Anything that does not, or anything that's not done to the glory of God belongs in the category of worldliness. The love of money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Does making money come first before the Lord? If it does, you're on your way to backsliding. Another cause of backsliding is the root of bitterness. Backsliding is caused by a root of bitterness in the heart. Many people carry a grudge. I know none of you guys have these problems. None of you guys have these things in your life. None of you are even tempted to go that way. But just in case, we need to consider. Because listen, the good of this body, the good of this church should be foremost. Because this church is obligated to carry the gospel into this community, And being a backslider or having a backslider in our midst is a good way for the Spirit to be hindered and our work not be effective as we go out and try to preach the gospel. So, people cannot seem to forgive the other person. Here's what God's word says about it. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. Anybody have a problem with that? Huh? I'll have to admit, I have to work on it a lot, work on it hard. But this kind of thing will cause one to backslide. So when we're bitter or irritated or upset at someone else, we need to get it right. We need to have a forgiving spirit. We need to have a humble spirit. Because when we're irritated at somebody because of what they've done or what they've done to us, we are setting the standard. God's word needs to set the standard. And his standard is that we forgive our brother. If we don't, he will not forgive us, he says. And he said he might. He didn't say he might not. He said he will not. Self-centeredness. None of us have that problem. The moment a church member becomes self-centered and thinks, I'll do it this just for myself, he is I owe it to myself. How often do you hear that in our society today? How often do you hear that? I owe it to myself. And listen, if you owe it to yourself, before you know it, you're feeling sorry for yourself. And if you feel sorry for yourself, you did it working in the devil's workshop is exactly what you're doing. We don't have any cause to feel sorry for ourselves. We're saved by the grace of God, and we don't need to worry about what man might do unto us, because the only thing he can do is take us from this life into the presence of Jesus, and we'd ever want ought to desire to be in his presence now. Out of this mess, so we don't have to fight this fight. Person becomes self-centered. And he thinks, I'll do this just for myself. We're to do for others and do unto others. He's on the road to backsliding. The Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 19:19, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is a good way to prove unselfishness. Ephesians 4, verse number 31. Gossip. Evil speaking or gossip is a hindrance to the Lord's New Testament church. And wrath and anger comes along with it. Clamor and evil speaking. Be but away from you, or put it away from you. With all malice, the Bible says. Look at Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Prayerlessness is another. Gossip, backbiting, sowing discord. My goodness. That doesn't happen among the Lord's churches or the Lord's people, does it? Well, it just happened in our classes in here. Some ladies who are really concerned about the Lord's work and the Lord's churches. One of our teachers misspoke and he brought things out a different way and didn't explain it. And so it seemed like he was teaching something that he wasn't. And some ladies were watching online, and they called his church members and said, he believes in a pastor being a dictator. That's gossip and backbiting of the worst kind. You don't discredit somebody until you have the facts. And you need to give it time. Don't jump too soon. Listen, gossip and backbiting and evil speaking and so forth, they're one of the greatest hindrances in the Lord's work. All right, prayerlessness. Many are not spending enough time in prayer. Look at Luke 18, beginning with verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, and saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? Listen, what do we get out of this? What we get out of this is we need to pray, and we need to continually pray. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. In other words, we ought to have an attitude of prayer so that if something happened instantly, we can immediately lift our hearts to God and seek the help that we need from him, or do it on behalf of somebody else. And we should be continually praying, and we shouldn't just pray one time and just let it go. Look, listen, we have prayer requests made here. Do you every day remember those prayer requests to the Lord? You should. You should. He makes it right, clear right here. If we keep coming to him and we continue, then he's going to respond. Well, why wouldn't he respond? He wants to see us in earnest. He wants to see us coming to him and believing and trusting that he will do what he said he would do. We pray believing, I believe, he says. He'll answer. And just one time, listen, God is not a statue. He's not just a big individual sitting on a throne, hashing things out. We're made in the image and likeness of God. We have feelings. We have emotions. We can be moved. He can too. That's why you need to continually go before him, because initially he may not answer that prayer, but then if you keep coming to him and taking it before him, he'll answer that prayer. And by the way, when we pray for the lost, he convicts their heart every time. So we ought to take them before him continually. Continually. Yeah, listen. God can be moved. God can change his mind. What did Moses do? God said, I'm going to destroy this bunch. We're going to raise them up to you. Moses got down on his knees and he continually sought the presence of God, and he prayed, and God repented of destroying the nation of Israel. God changed his mind. See? So, we need to be earnest in prayer. By the way, with gossip and sowing discord, when we hear something evil about someone, why not talk to God about it instead of somebody else? Yeah. Good idea. Because he can do something about it. Somebody else can't. And he won't make a mess out of it, but somebody else might. Unbelief. Another cause of backsliding. Look at Hebrews 3. Verse number 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Questioning? Doubting? Are the doctrines and practices that we believe and trust in? Why aren't all this people out here in the world, why aren't all of Christianity believe it the same way we do? With all of them believing it, how can we be the only one that's right? Well, how can we not be? Because Jesus only started one kind of church. And that church, he's promised, would have a continual existence. And there are New Testament churches in the world today because God will never and has never left the world without a witness. Amen. Take heed, brethren, that there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You know what? He also says those that he loves, he chastens. Yeah. You know what? Those that walk away don't believe that. They're caught in unbelief. They don't believe that God will chastise them. And when he is chastising them and they're in misery, they still won't admit it because they're in unbelief. And I'm not just talking about lost people being in unbelief. I'm talking about God's people being in unbelief. Payday will come, mark it down. And we can phony baloney it all we want to, but he's going to. By the way, willful sin will be punished. Hebrews 10 says there's no more sacrifice for it. God's not going to set it aside. It has to be repented of. It has to be confessed with repentance. For God to forgive and take it out of the way. We're in unbelief in departing from the living God. Jeremiah 2, verse 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Are you wicked? Pharisee. We don't like to think that of ourselves. But I'm here to tell you that we have a nature that if we don't keep it under control by the grace of God, we'll live and be and act just like these bums all around us here in the world. And not only those on the street, but those in the offices of our government who endorses and condones and encourages all the perversion that's going on in our society today. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. How happy are you? Yeah. Well, we are forsaking God. And many times we're forsaking him and don't realize it. Many times that old nature and Satan dealing, working, is pulling us away. And we're further away from him than we were when he saved our soul. I guarantee you that. How much farther? Thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. And that My fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We don't fear the Lord like we should. What's the reason? Because religion today has convinced people that God is a powder puff God and he would not send anybody to hell. And by the way, no one are sinners. All of us are children of God. Therefore, we're all going to heaven and there's no problem. That's the kind of garbage that the society today is being fed, and it influences you and me whether we like it or not. Why worry about this? We need to look in and we need to examine and we need to see, we need to be honest. Am I living up to what God says? Or how far away am I? How hard do I need to turn and come back and strive to come back? We need to have the fullness of the joy of our salvation. And the less joy we have in the Lord, the more backslidden we are. Now, in order to backslide, you have to be in something in order to slide back. Lost friend, tonight, you need to understand that you can't backslide. Because you're not never been in it. The only way that you can be in it is when you're willing to acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you're condemned already, and that Jesus Christ is the only one and only way that you can make it right and have assurance that you're going to be with the Lord eternally. When you're willing with your heart to turn from whatever it is that you're trusting in, whatever it is that you're doing in order to appease the wrath of God, and every lost sinner does that, you need to forsake that. You need to turn to Jesus. You need to put your faith wholeheartedly and trust in the fact that Jesus, who is the God the Son, came into this world, became a man, and as a man, he suffered, bled, and died and paid the penalty of your sins. He satisfied the wrath of God on mankind for mankind breaking his law, for mankind rebelling against him, for mankind refusing to love the Lord for which man was created. Yeah. You need to forsake all of that, and you need to look to Jesus in repentance and faith. And brethren, we need to examine ourselves. See how much ground we need to make up for. And we need to get things really right with the Lord so he can use us. You know what? Most of the time we go out and we work and we witness and we pray and we strive. Most of the time, it's not the individual that we're praying for or we're dealing with. It's not the devil or his angels hindering us. It's our own personal condition. Yeah. The Apostle Paul was used greatly with the Lord because he was given over completely to serving the Lord. He was giving over completely to pleasing God. And he denied himself to do it. What did we read here the other day? Where there's no sacrifice, faith has no value. Where there's no sacrifice, faith has no value. What do you mean? If there's no sacrifice, God can't bless it. If there's no sacrifice, people around that we're working with are going to see that. And they're not going to be willing to believe that Jesus was sacrificed because of that. Did you know just the attitude of a church member can hinder the working of the Spirit? Just the attitude. We need to examine and we need to make things right. How do we do that? Prayer and staying in this. How much time you put into it? Parents, how much time do you require your kids to put into it? The only way they're going to learn it and know it is if you see to it that they do it. You can teach your kids to play musical instruments. You can teach them to play sports. You can teach them to excel in arithmetic or science or anything else. That's worthless unless they're in this. And for them, this ought to come first before all those things. What sacrifice do we make for our kids to be successful in this world? A tremendous sacrifice. But what good is it? Jesus is going to come soon. And if our kids aren't prepared, they're going to be left behind. And by the way the world is going to be then under this Antichrist dictator, it ain't going to make any difference how much education they got. It ain't going to make any difference how good they are. They're going to be treated the same as anyone else. And that treatment is not going to be good. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, Spirit of God's convicted your heart, be honest with yourself and with God and come to Him. What should we sing? Thank you for your attendance and attention. Continue in prayer and study your Bible and apply it to your life. What a difference it'll make. Brother Trevor, conclude our service.